accepting the fact that he is a subordinate to the Supreme Personality, but then not accepting. I mean, some people today say they say that they are a very high authority. They seem to sort of reject that thing. That Yamaraj is very quick to accept the fact that there is a higher authority above him.
Why does he accept it?
Because he's a devotee of Lord Krishna, and he's one of the authorities, he's one of the Mahajan.
Any other point?
Yep. Devotees are always protected by Krishna, and they always become Krishna everywhere.
Good. Anything else? Anything else?
It's not possible to perfectly establish Varnashram Dharma in Kaliyuga, but if he follows the Dharyam Sankirti, then he gets the fire of all the forms.
There is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way. In Kali Yuga. Any other point? It's not that it cannot be performed in passionate ignorance, it can be performed. Kipilate talks about devotional service in passionate ignorance in the third canto. But it is far less effective. So we should become in the mode of ignorance. Any other point?
Material energy is working as Krishna's control between expansion and solution.
Where did Melanie go? Telling the team people. Okay, any other point? That's all. What was the last part you said?
One has to identify so what is real religion, what is cultural and knowledge, man-made.
Any other points?
Anyone who serves the Lord directly gets liberation quickly, whereas if you serve indirectly, the liberation is delayed.
Any other points?
What's the meaning of directly and indirectly?
Directly means it is direct, and indirectly means it is indirect. According to the Oxford Dictionary. You learn so many things when you come to this club. Are you satisfied with that answer?
I think so.
Any other point?
When he is practicing devotional service in that ignorance, he always has problems in associating with devotees. He is a separate and he keeps himself as a
separatist.
Separatist.
Yeah. Do not be a separatist.
And when he is practicing devotional service in mode of passion, like he wants external things like for fame and other things he performs. And one who is practicing like, in more of goodness, he can progress spiritually, easily progress in spiritually. So that we have to come to the Brahmana form. From there we can progress in.
Which one are you?
Goodness.
Which one are you in?
Not sure.
Not sure. You better read it carefully then. Third canto. Lokapila Dev's teachings. You should read it carefully.
Okay. So tonight we'll finish this chapter, chapter 3, some very important verses. And it's a summary of the pastime of Ajahn-myo. So the entire pastime will be summarized in the philosophy of these final verses in this chapter, very powerful verses.
We'll go from verses 22 to 35.
Devotional service beginning with chanting of the holy name of the Lord is the ultimate religious principle for the living entity in human society.
So you had three key memory verses so far. What were they?
19, 20, and there was an earlier one as well, earlier on. I can't remember what the number of the third one was. Yeah, no, but I can't remember what, it was in the first chapter. Okay. So you have chapter 1, there's one verse, then there's 19, and there's 20, and tonight I am giving you 22. You should also memorize this verse. This is now one of your KMVs, because this course is progressive. So it means that we're adding another verse tonight, this particular one. So this may be on your exam, so you need to learn it. The exam will be in 1 month from now, like that. So you need to learn this verse also. Okay. Very important verse, this verse. Okay. And please, if there's anyone who's not here, please let them know. Merle was here, I don't know where he went. But please let him know, please let others know also. This is also a KMV.
Devotional service beginning with the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is the ultimate religious principle for the living entity in human society.
Wisha, would you like to read this?
Real religious principles of Bhagavata Dharma. The principles described in Srimad Bhagavatam itself or in Bhagavad Gita, the preliminary study of Bhagavatam. What are these principles? The Bhagavatam says, Dharma Sojita Kaitavata in Srimad Bhagavatam Dharma. There are no cheating religious systems. Everything in the Bhagavatam is directly connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Bhagavatam further says, Savai Kumsa Paro Dharmo Eto Bhakti Adokshade. The supreme religion is that which teaches its followers how to love the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is beyond the reach of experimental knowledge. Such a religious system begins with Tannama Grahana, chanting of the holy name of the Lord, Shravanam Ketram Vishnu Swarnam Pada Sevanam. After chanting the holy name of the Lord and dancing in ecstasy, one gradually sees the form of the Lord, the pastimes of the Lord, and the transcendental qualities of the Lord. This way, one fully understands the situation of the Personality of Godhead. One can come to this understanding of the Lord, how he descends into the material world, how he takes his birth, and what activities he performs. But one can know this only by executing devotional service. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Bhakya Mama Vidhanati, simply by devotional service, one can understand everything about the Supreme Lord. If one fortunately understands the Supreme Lord in this way, the result is Tyakva Deham Pulas Janma Naiti. After giving up this material world, he no longer has to take birth in this material world. Instead, he returns home back to Godhead. That is the ultimate perfection. Therefore, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Ma Mubesya Pulas Janma Dukhali Mashashwadam Ram Nabdobansi Mahatmanaha Samsatjim Paramam Tataha. After attaining the great souls who are yogis in devotion, never attempt this temporary world, which is full of misery, because they have attained the highest perfection.
So any points in?
The Supreme Dharma is to love Lord Krishna and to start with the Shravanam Kirtan Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam.
Anything else?
In Bhagavad Gita, the general karma is generally the most active and the most active. and you don't have to come back to the temple anymore. Any other
anything else?
This is also reiterated by Madam in the first canto, the section which we just finished in the temple. When Vyasadeva is feeling responding, and Madam says that because he wrote all the Vedas, Puranas, that he is feeling responding, and then Madam says that because you haven't sufficiently verified the Vedas and the Vedas. Only when he wrote the Srimad Bhagavatam, then there was complete satisfaction in his mind. Then the Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost, so that's why we're in the beginning. Bhagavatam is sitting down here.
After chanting in a holy name and dancing in ecstasy, one can see the form on the form of the Lord, past tense of the Lord, and transcendental quality.
So, in the previous yugas, the religious practices were the meditation, five sacrifices, and the deity worship. Going to this religious according to this verse, these make to be cultivated by chanting of the holy name. Otherwise, the skepticism is not required. Would there be a definition?
Deity worship based on chanting the holy name. Jagya is inclusive of the holy name. We see that Dhruva Maharaj was doing a type of Ashtanga process, but he was still chanting also. So it's definitely included as part of the southern of it. But why is it prevalent in Kali Yuga? Because Nam Sankirtan is there in every other yuga. It's not that it wasn't that devotees were not doing kirtan or coming together and having Sankirtan in other yugas. They were doing it. But because the modes are different in those yugas, the people are more suited to another type of process. In Kali Yuga, because the modes are so low and there's mostly passion and ignorance, people cannot perform the other types of processes of self-realization properly. They can't do deity worship exclusively in this age. Most people are not attracted to it. Even amongst devotees, most people are not attracted. You know, many devotees, they're not attracted to deity worship. Don't have the adhikara qualifications so easily. And then jagyas are not easy. I'm not so attracted to jagyas. You know, I like them, but I don't think I could do it as like a process. And meditation is obviously not easy in the faith. So because everyone is disqualified or everything else is so difficult, then Nam Sankirtan is the process for Kali Yuga. Any other points?
All other processes, any other process which we follow in Kali Yuga, we have doubt and fear that may or may not work and do it rightly. So, but in the second canto of Maharaj, what is your asking to guys of coming? What is the duty of a man who is supposed to die, who will die for the end of the period of time. Chanting is a doubtless and fearless thing.
But even still, sometimes devotees have doubt. Even though it is the doubtless and fearless way in Kali Yuga, it is the only way in Kali Yuga, but still we have doubt. Still we struggle to follow the process. Devotees even struggle to finish their rounds every day. Devotees find it difficult to chant 16 rounds every day or 4 rounds every day. Devotees even struggle, even though it's such an easy and fearless and perfect process, that even devotees are so struggling with it. So any other point?
In one of Krishna and the books here, you cannot be understood by mental speculation. It is not a very young research of experimental knowledge.
Any other thing?
Yes, one of my colleagues walked up to me. This guy comes and nudges me sometimes. Just because I don't participate in Friday night and stuff like that. He was asking me. So I had kept Radha Gopinath photographs in front of me this way and I had kept Radha Shyam Sundar. So I took my desk all these photographs. People come and ask
me. Is he Western God?
No, he's Indian. 100% South Indian. And he was born in Kumbakonam, which is supposed to be a holy land. He's from that place. And then he comes and tells me, so who do you think is God? And I told him that I know I'm an atheist, I don't believe in God. So he said, but what about his photograph? And I just kept it like that. So he knows that I was taunting. But the guy had come twice or thrice. He doesn't want to understand anything, but he just wants to poke somewhere else and go.
So I took the opposite stand. I told him, next time you come, you have to convince me that God exists. I am telling you God doesn't exist. And then he told me that, but I believe God exists. He said, who is God? You tell me. So he said, no, you tell me who is God. I said, Krishna is God. If there is a God, then it is Krishna. That is my hypothesis. No, you tell me who is God. So he said, why should I believe that Krishna is God? And then he went on a spiral saying that air is God and wind is God. Then I told him that we discussed the project issues. I think I'm more comfortable doing that. You both of us will be mutually comfortable discussing that. But I really was thinking this morning that next time, how do I? Either I have to convince him or I have to discourage him from coming talking to this guy. Because he is one of those guys who is not interested. These people will just come out of envy because we don't participate in their activities, but still we are happy. So they can't tolerate this. So that's why Prabhuji's point is very valid. Krishna cannot be understood any other environmental situation. So it's very difficult to convince unless they go through body and soul and everything. Just and they are in a submissive mood, otherwise it's not possible. Someone has decided not to accept that. So he's asking questions and he doesn't want to answer.
Welcome to Kali Yuga. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is teaching the process of Harinam and Kirtanam. So what is the process of bhakti, which is being taught in the Bhagavatam? Prabhupada says emphatically in this purport, it is dancing and chanting in ecstasy. And he says in this section, particularly, because you have to understand, this pastime is essential even in the entire Bhagavatam. Because it's the pastime of Ajamil, and it is especially explaining the glories of chanting the holy name, which is the process which is being specifically emphasized in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So then Prabhupada says in this section, the way to become perfect is simply to dance and chant in front of Gaura Nittai. This is the process. Even if you do not take Brahman initiation, what we call second initiation in ISKCON, even if you do not take it, but if you are just dancing and chanting in front of Gaura Nittai, you can fully become perfect in this human form of life and go back to Goloka Vrindavan. Of course, that does not mean that we should not become second initiated and begin to do deity worship. We should do that. Because that is incredibly powerful, and Prabhupada also explains in this section that it is necessary to keep the mind and the heart pure. Because even I've said many times, I've practiced devotional service maybe 17 years or something, and then it was only at that time, maybe about 6 years ago or something, that I began to worship my deity every day. Right? And then from that point, I noticed a big difference in my consciousness. And then my chanting has become different. There has been an improvement in my ability to perform sadhana bhakti by doing deity worship, because it cleanses the heart and the mind. So it is necessary. You must. But even if you did not, for some reason, take second initiation, you simply dance and chant in front of Gaura Nittai, particularly this Gaura Nittai, because this Gaura Nittai was installed by a pure devotee of God, which is extremely rare. And this Gaura Nittai, now the biggest solid caste deity in the world, until very recently, in Mayapur we had the Panchatattva installed. So they are now the biggest solid caste deities of Mahaprabhu and the Panchatattva. But besides them, in the entire world, these are the biggest solid caste deities in the world. The Melbourne Mahaprabhu Mandir. Prabhupada even called it Melbourne Mahaprabhu Mandir. So it takes 6 men to carry these deities when they came onto the altar. Now each one weighs half a ton. Very powerful deities. And Prabhupada himself installed those deities. Have you seen the video? Have you seen? No one's seen? Really? Very famous video. Prabhupada is installing the deities. Yeah, Gaura Nittai. It's very... Huh? There's so much footage of Prabhupada. So much footage. If you look through Prabhupada's... when they installed 1975, right? It says on the plaque outside the temple, 1975. If you look following Srila Prabhupada, I think in that section, then you'll see in that 1975 section, you'll see Prabhupada, he installs them here. You can see the video.
He is bathing them. Very famous video like that. And Korma Prabhu is leading the kirtan as a young brahmachari. You know, he's in front of like that. The temple is packed like that. And Korma Prabhu is leading the kirtan. Yeah, very classic video like that. So Prabhupada personally installed. So all you have to do is dance and chant. The Prabhupada says in ecstasy. That means your chanting has to become ecstatic. Right? A lot of devotees fall asleep when they chant. You know, chanting the holy name, you begin to fall asleep. You know? If you want to cure your insomnia, or your inability to sleep, then just chant the holy name. Or hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. Mm-hmm. And everyone starts to get very tired. But actually, the process is that you have to learn to dance and chant in ecstasy. Which means full surrender. I was listening recently to Mal Krishnamaraj was speaking about Prabhupada's final days in Vrindavan in 1977. And Srila Prabhupada, they would carry him out on a palanquin in the final days out to Krishna Balaram Mandir. From his room, he would come to the temple every day to take darshan of the deities. And the Gurukul boys would come and they would dance while the kirtan was going on in front of Prabhupada for the deities. And Prabhupada specifically said, dance like this. He said, dance like this. Swami said. In front of Gaur Nithai, put your hands in the air and dance, Prabhupada said. Even though I think I've told the story before, that one time there was a big kirtan in Los Angeles, like in a public hall. Sometimes you see the videos, like there's a video of Prabhupada in... over here in... Oh, is it Ormond Hall? Over here in St. Kilda? I can't think of the name of the hall, but there's a hall just over here in St. Kilda, only 5 kilometers from here. And they had a program there, and there's a huge Lord Chaitanya Diti. He's about 18 foot tall. When I joined, he was still around. I think now he might be up in Mwollumbah or something. Sometimes I think maybe they still bring him. When I joined, they used to bring him out. So he was beautiful, big, higher than the roof, Lord Chaitanya Diti. He was in the middle of the hall and all the devotees were going around doing big kirtan. Madhavisa Prabhu was leading the kirtan. So there was another time when Prabhupada was in Los Angeles and they were having a public kirtan like that in the hall, and there was something like 100, 200, 300, 400 devotees and hundreds of guests in the hall. And all the brahmacharis are in the middle of the hall and they were doing kirtan, and you know sometimes the brahmacharis get a little overexcited. So they're going like, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And everyone was getting very, enthusiastic. So in the middle of the whole thing, and there were hundreds of guests there, outside non-devotees, Prabhupada stopped the kirtan. Just stopped. And then he looked at it, everyone just looked at Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, not like this. He said, like this. And then he said, stop the kirtan. And he said, dance like this in front of Gaur Nithai. So this is the way we dance in front of Gaur Nithai. We dance saying, in surrender, in ecstasy, spiritual ecstasy before Gaur Nithai. And if one dances like that, that is the process of God consciousness. Now Prabhupada qualifies it in this purport. What does he say? He says, after chanting the holy name of the Lord and dancing in ecstasy. So you must learn to chant and dance in ecstasy. First you must learn to do that. Come to an ecstatic state of chanting. Then Prabhupada says, one gradually sees the form of the Lord, the pastimes of the Lord, and the transcendental qualities of the Lord. This is the process. The process of this age is that while chanting, the form, the qualities, and the pastimes, nama, rupa, guna, lila, that will manifest in your consciousness when you're chanting your japa, or when you are performing kirtan in the temple. This is what you should be remembering. These things should be coming. This is the process. Harinam Anukirtanam. The Bhagavatam is teaching us to chant the holy name. Now Jiva Goswami, he makes a comment in the Sandarbhas. Because in the previous ages, what was emphasized was Smaranam. Smaranam means remembrance. Krishna Smaranam. Now, Rupa Goswami teaches us that of all of the rules and regulations of bhakti, what are the two most important rules and regulations?
Always remember Krishna.
Never
forget Krishna. So Rupa Goswami says this governs all of what we do. So therefore, in previous ages, it was argued that smaranam, or remembering Krishna, was the most important item of bhakti, or it is the most important item of bhakti. Or in other words, it is the goal of our bhakti, to always remember Krishna. But then Jiva Goswami says that smaranam in and of itself, in Kali Yuga, is not as effective as kirtan. Kirtan is more relevant and effective in Kali Yuga because it is easier to absorb the mind in Krishna than just smaranam. Because most people, because the mind and the heart is impure, when they try to do smaranam, the mind becomes polluted by material thoughts. So when you do kirtan, you chant the holy name, that automatically, as you are chanting, and as you become more advanced and you cultivate your chanting, smaranam will automatically come. In other words, Krishna's pastimes will automatically flood into the consciousness. So that is the process of harinama no kirtana, which is being taught in the Srimad Bhagavatam. By dancing and chanting in ecstasy, as Lord Chaitanya has taught us, that will cleanse the heart and lead to remembering Krishna. That is the goal. So this is the entire process that is within the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then Prabhupada says, the goal of Krishna consciousness is to take Krishna by the hand, just like Mother Yashoda, and lead him. That is the goal. When you see Krishna face to face, Prabhupada said that is the goal. This face-to-face contact with Krishna can take place when one chants the holy name properly. So we should begin with the end in mind. In other words, we should know what this Srimad Bhagavatam is teaching us. What Harinam Anukirtanam actually means. It means that this is what we are aiming for. So then if you reflect on your current state of chanting, you may think, well, I've got a long way to go. So then what should we do? We should get serious. What are you going to do when you're 60, when you're 70, when you're 80? Still fall asleep when you chant your japa? Prabhupada said the goal of the Krishna consciousness movement is simply to go to Mayapur, Vrindavan and chant Hare Krishna 24 hours a day. That is the goal. But Prabhupada said, because you're too much of the mode of passion and ignorance, I'm giving you so many other services to do. And actually that is the goal. So Prabhupada actually says, if you read the Leelamrita in the fifth or the sixth volume, in one of the final volumes, Prabhupada says that if you give your whole life to preaching Krishna consciousness, you will use up all your passion, you will overcome ignorance, and then at the end of your life you'll be able to chant Hare Krishna peacefully, with a mind focused and attached to Krishna. That is the goal. Just to be satisfied with Nama Shraya, or taking shelter of the holy name. Any points?
If you look at the Sri Sampradaya or any other Sampradaya, they also believe in Nama Sankirtan. But most of the Sampradayas, I think when I had that occasion, I spoke with other Sampradaya others, that the importance to japa is a little bit undermined over Kirtan, actual Kirtan. So, in that context,
How's your japa going?
Better than before. I'm taking lots of photographs in front of me. I put a picture this time. I have a yatra. From Dada Gopinath on the cowherd in Maulashtami. We have just a program. chanting with that kind of thing. That, before that I never kept a photograph in that. It's becoming easier now.
When Radharani is just like a cowherd boy?
Yeah, Radharani is open like that.
Gopashtami.
Gopashtami. Vrindavan.
Gopashtami.
Vrindavan.
Quite a rustic office you've got going on down there. Any other points?
Why in the temple, when the kirtan is going on, instead of dancing, there's a lot of running around. There's a lot of playing, running around, which I feel personally very wrong. That disturbs me rather than aids me in my kirtan.
Yeah, the boys are a little bit too passionate here at this point in history. You know, this whole Bhakti Bhavan crew, they're a bit passionate at this point in time. And then a lot of the time they're not really listening to the chanting. Not that. So it needs to be, I've spoken to them about it several occasions, they're still doing it. I'm not around that much, but it's a little bit too passionate. Not that. We should dance ecstatically. You know, it's nice to dance ecstatically, but the holy name should always be the focus, and you can see when it becomes when the holy name is not the main focus. They're just running up and down and, you know, it becomes like, but it should be the holy name is the focus, and then from that, one will generate ecstasy, one will dance very naturally. Like that, in their ecstasy. But sometimes it becomes the other way. It's just passion, basically. And it becomes like a football match. You know, they're just dancing and carrying on, and it's actually not that. It's just passion, that's all. It's just youthful passion. At least they're in the temple chanting, but, you know. It needs to be... They need to deepen their attachment to the holy name. Any other point?
Is it possible for us to be taught some dancing steps so that we can move in rhythm? This I found in Delhi temple. Anyone who comes to temple in the afternoon time, they teach how to dance in front of deities. And therefore there is a wonderful rhythm the way they do their dance, which I found is missing.
Yeah, if you look in there's videos of New Braj Dance, and Shivaram Swami has a very careful choreography, and everyone has to follow this choreography in the kirtan, like that. So you see these things, they're spreading around this con. So it's only a matter of time until it gets here. Just be patient, it will come. Any other point?
I'm just asking about a question that when you drink kirtan, and you feel it's for personal gratification rather than basically trying to really sing for God, what happens in that situation?
Even in that mode, you can still actually purify yourself. Even though it is
not the perfect way, but still it actually purifies
even while you're chanting. Yeah. Because at least you're in the kirtan. This is spoken about in this section. If you read these purports, Prabhupada emphasizes that even if you chant offensively, even if there are offenses in chanting, still you're getting purified. Because I know some devotees, even friends of mine, they chant very inattentive rounds. I know one friend of mine, he chants rounds watching the Australian Open. Yeah, like I was over at his place and like he just sits there watching, you know, five sets of tennis, and I think he must chant his 16 rounds. They're very bad, very poor rounds. It's offensive chanting, it's not attentive chanting like that. But because he is doing that, that will lead to a realization later at some point to begin to chant in Nama Bhava. And then that will lead to even higher chanting. So at least even if offensive chanting, even if you're chanting offensively, not that we should do it, I'm not condoning it. I'm not saying it's justifiable to chant your japa while the Australian Open's on. I don't care how long the final goes on. Even if the men's final goes for 6 hours, it's no justification. Even if it doesn't finish at 2 in the morning, there's no justification to chant your rounds while you're watching the tennis. I'm not condoning that that's okay, but at least if some people are doing it, they will make advances. Any other point?
If someone asked your Guru Maharaj that when I'm tired, can I lie down and do chanting? And he said, yes, you can do it, but don't call me.
Tell Russell. He said you can do it, but don't count it.
Okay.
Well, that should not be your...
If someone is sick?
Sick is different. Should not be a habit. I remember when I first joined, I'd only been in the temple a few days, so I didn't know anything, so I was laying on the ground, like in the Brahma Charita, I was laying on the floor, chanting my japa, and Tridish Prabhu walked in, and he said, you can't chant japa like that. So I didn't know, so I sat up immediately and began to chant. So I didn't know these things, like that stuff. But it should not be a habit. Okay. So please memorize that verse. It's one of your key memory verses. It might be on your exam. But then we have to tell everyone that's there. So please tell them. Also remind me next week to tell them, because some people are not here. They're very important. So. My dear servants, who are as good as my sons, just see how glorious is the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. The greatly sinful Ajamil chanted only to call his son, not knowing that he was chanting the Lord's holy name. Nevertheless, by chanting the holy name of the Lord, he remembered Narayana, and thus he was immediately saved from the ropes of death. So, chanting is experiential, which means bhakti is also experiential. It is something that you have to experience for yourself to prove it, if it is true. Just like sometimes people, they question us about when we explain to them the glories of chanting the holy name. We say, just chant Hare Krishna. But then non-devotees, sometimes they think, well, how can this work? It is just sound. You're saying chant Hare Krishna, someone else is saying something else. How do we know that it works? The only way that you can prove to someone that it works is if they try it themselves. In other words, chanting must be experienced for one's own, on one's own. In other words, you must do it. And when you experience the chanting, then you will feel the effect of the chanting. And it's the same for us. It is an experiential process. The more we put into the chanting, the more we get out of the chanting. It is a direct reciprocation with the Lord. As Krishna says himself in the Bhagavad Gita, yayata mam prapajante tam tataiva bhajam yaham. So this is the process of bhakti, and chanting the holy name, it is reciprocal. The more you put into your chanting, the more you put your heart into your chanting, the more Krishna reciprocates with the chanting. So it's a very reciprocal process. So then you have to push. And especially sometimes devotees, they say to me, where are all the older devotees? There's not so many older devotees around now. So actually it is not easy to stay a devotee for a long period of time or to seriously practice sadhana for a long period of time. It is challenging, and you must continuously challenge yourself to get more and more taste. And periodically in devotional service we come against walls. In devotional service we come to a wall and we feel like, now I'm not getting anything. I've come so far, but now there's nothing. I'm not getting anything. I'm not getting taste. So then you have to push through that wall. You have to go to the next level. You have to go deeper in your Krishna consciousness. So you constantly have to challenge yourself as a devotee to go deeper, to get more taste, to get more satisfaction. Then you can continue the process on and on and on. Because the holy name is Chintamani. Chintamani means it is conscious. It is full of rasa, chaitanya, rasa, vigraha. It is conscious and it is full of rasa. The holy name is full of rasa. You constantly have to challenge yourself to get that rasa. Because you chant and then you get a taste for chanting. So then you chant for a number of years. But then Krishna challenges you. He says, now you have to come to the next level. I'll reduce your taste. And you have to put more effort in if you want to go further. So how do we keep ourselves enthused over years and years and years of devotional service? It is by reading the literature of the previous acharyas. We have to constantly go deeper into the literature of the previous acharyas. That's why, in one sense, it is Krishna's arrangement and mercy that it is taking so long for this Bhakti Vaibhav course to go on. Because In May of this year, this course will be going for how long?
7 years.
7 years. And we're only on Canto? 6. So it's quite a slow course. But in one sense, it is Krishna's arrangement of mercy, because it means we've always got something to look forward to. And if we can't, like I was reflecting today, because I was preparing the class today, and I was reflecting that there is so much nectar, there's so much taste in the Bhagavad Gita, in Prabhupada's books. So it's good that Prabhupada is slowing us down, because it means next year then we've got Canto 7 to look forward to. And there's so much nectar within the 7th Canto. And then the year after is the 8th Canto. And then I am awaiting to get to the 10th Canto. I'm very much looking forward to getting to the 10th Canto. It's almost like Krishna is holding us back. That it will take time to get there. But then when we get there, there'll be so much relish and so much taste if we go deep into it. But you only get as much out of your study of the Srimad Bhagavatam as you put into your chanting. Because Shravanam and Kirtanam are reciprocal. So the deeper you're chanting, and the more you're cultivating your chanting of the holy name, the more taste you'll get when you chant, when you study the Srimad Bhagavatam. And vice versa. The more carefully you study the Bhagavatam, the more taste you'll get for chanting. So you constantly have to challenge yourself. And then there is the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We could be going for a long time. Chaitanya Charitamrita is coming. Okay, so please stay tuned. And then after Chaitanya Charitamrita, then who knows where we will go. Well, actually, if you study Chaitanya Charitamrita, you have to study alongside it many of the books of the Goswamis. Ujjwala, Nilamani, and many of these books. So there's many books to be studied. The Goswamis have left so many books. Prabhupada mentions in the very first purport of the Srimad Bhagavatam 111, Prabhupada says that we should read all of the books of the Goswamis. And he said certain books will keep you always in thought of Krishna, like Krishna Bhavanamrita and Govinda Lilamrita. Now by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami wrote the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. He also wrote another classic book called Govinda Lilamrita, which is all about Krishna's Ashtakaliya Lila. Very elevated literature. But all these things are there for us. And this is how you keep a tape year after year in devotional service. You have to challenge yourself, purify your heart so you can read these books and get tape. At this point in time, if you try to jump ahead and read those books, like Govinda Lilamrita, Krishna Bhavanamrita, you may get virasa. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, instead of getting rasa or taste, you'll get virasa or perverted taste. In other words, you'll go back to the material world and simply the lust in your heart will increase. So we should not approach these things prematurely, but still we should challenge ourselves to purify ourselves so that one day we will become eligible to read these things. So it is a cultivation process. It takes time to cultivate the process of practice. Okay, so. Any points?
Who wrote Krishna Bhavanamrita?
Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur.
And Govinda?
Lilamrita. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami.
Mm-hmm.
They might be in the bookshop. You can definitely get them in Vrindavan. You can. Okay. Any other point?
I like the Kirtan and Bhakti Gita from the Bhakti Gita Arach. Very interesting.
Kirtan?
Yeah.
Means?
In the temple hall. He came 2-3 times.
Oh, when he came?
Yeah.
Okay. And he used to play that drum. Do you remember?
Yeah.
He used to play that drum. It was like an African drum.
Yeah.
Round drum. He used to have like a stick and he used to play the drum. And then dance.
On it. And so many more medals on his head.
Did he wear them when he came to Australia?
Yeah, he had medals.
But did he have medals when he came here?
Yeah.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Any other
questions?
If I could hear this one, I'm not sure. There must be videos of him on the internet.
In one of the previous times we discussed
that Kajamila chanted the holy name in Chaya Namada, Sankita, unintentionally. Here, Dhamaraj is making a point that he actually remembered Narayan, which is Shraddha Namada.
Where does it say that? Does it say?
By chanting the holy name of the Lord, he remembered Narayan. Not knowing that he was chanting the Lord's holy name, it was unintentional. Nevertheless, by chanting the holy name of the Lord, he remembered Narayan. It looks like from Chaya he came to Shraddha Namada.
Yeah. From what I've read overall of this section, then he was unintentional. So it was a more like Chaya. But that saved him. And then he, when he came to his senses, then he began to chant in Namabhav. Shraddha Namabhav. That's my overall perception.
You also mentioned that in that section that though it was unintentional, even when he called out to Narayana, he somehow remembered for a moment. I remember you said that.
Because like in this verse and also in some purports in this section, Prabhupada says that. But then if you look at the overall, the whole section, Prabhupada, Vishnu, Chakravarti Thakur seemed to be saying that it was actually unintentional. And actually Bhanu Swami said that in class this morning also, he actually said that. But it seems like that's the overall. Although several times Prabhupada does say it and the verse does say it. So both are being said.
He was in anxiety as well, he was
fearful
of the life. When you are fearful of something, like if somebody is behind you, you are running, you jump very high because you were full of energy. He was enchanted with the full energy. Then some, and that for that he got pure, he got a little bit purity.
Yeah. Good. Anything else?
Generally, I think that the principle with which people name their children Narayana, Krishna, Rama, and all, is based on this principle that unintentional chanting does save them. So that's general comfort in it, therefore they name the child.
So you have to choose good names.
Yes, I'm thinking of saving on the
You'll probably get his name changed soon anyway. Sounds like. Okay. Therefore, it should be understood that one is easily relieved from all sinful reactions by chanting the holy name of the Lord and chanting of his qualities and activities. This is the only process recommended for relief from sinful reactions. Even if one chants the holy name of the Lord with improper pronunciation, he will achieve relief from material bondage if he chants without offences. Ajamil, for example, was extremely sinful, but while dying he merely chanted the holy name. And although calling his son, he achieved complete liberation because he remembered the name of Narayana. So what is being emphasized in this section, this final section, which is a very, you need to read this. If you haven't read the purport, you need to very carefully read this final section because it summarizes the entire pastime. Prabhupada is emphasizing you have to learn to chant attentively. Inattentive chanting is not for sadhakas. Inattentive chanting is for people who are struggling in Krishna consciousness. And it is good, but it is not for sadhakas. You have to learn to chant attentively. You have to prioritize your chanting. Dave Mridaswami, who gave class this morning, he emphasizes quite often you have to design your whole Krishna conscious lifestyle, your whole day around your chanting. And if you design your whole day, your whole life around your chanting, then everything else just automatically will fall into place. And I know it's very difficult. His life is very challenging these days. I know for myself it's difficult to do that. That's why I like to go to Vrindavan once a year. I go to Mayapur to Puri, because then I can just chant. Even Krishna Kathapabhu, he was traveling with Devi Mrita Swami. Devi Mrita Swami takes disciples and travels around the world. So they were traveling and then he came to Govardhan. They traveled to Vrindavan to Govardhan. And when Devi Mrita Swami arrived and the taxi arrived at the Bhaktivedanta Ashram in Govardhan, then he said to Krishna Kathapabhu, he said, now I can chant. no other business. So that's why I like to go to Mayapur, Vrindavan and Puri, you know, once a year, just to chant. Just so I can just do sadhana, I can just worship my deity. I can just do sadhana, I can visit the theatres. You know, I can just be happy as a devotee, swim in the Ganga, like that. You can just be happy as a devotee. But in the West, it's very challenging, because there's so much service to do. Just like when all of you left the other day, then so much still had to be done. You know, after the meetings, then I had to clean up in the farm. And then I got up the next morning, and I had a busy day, and then I had to still do service. So then my rounds were almost like, you know, they kind of took second place, because there's things I had to get done. You know, and I knew that all I wanted to really do was just chant. But then if I didn't do these other things, then, you know, the day would be affected and next few days would be affected. So, but we should make it our habit as much as we can, and it's very challenging in the West, to make our chanting the priority in our life. So at least what I do every year in Kartik, when Kartik Vrat comes, whether I'm in the West or in the East, then I just make it that the priority. This month I don't care. Rest of the year I'll make compromises for service and for preaching, but that one month then I set everything else aside and just put my sadhana first. And especially when you go to the Holy Dharma, you just put your sadhana first. This is the priority. Right then. So if you want to make advancement in your chanting, then you need to make this emphasis. Now Bhaktivinoda Thakur teaches us this principle of Nam Ashraya. Namashraya means the holy name is my shelter. That's the way we have to cultivate our chanting, that it becomes our shelter in this world. Namashraya. We are taking shelter of the holy name. In other words, Srila Prabhupada says in the songbook of the Vaishnavacharyas, Prabhupada translated many songs from the Vaishnavacharyas, which we have in one book, which has been there since Prabhupada's time from the BGT. It's called Songbook of the Vaishnavacharyas. I think you know what I'm speaking about. So if you read in the introduction, Srila Prabhupada says, the safest place in the material world is in Kirtan Ras. So that is the safest place. It means Nam Ashraya. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's principle, which Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes about, that we must take shelter in the holy name. We need to make the holy name like our foodstuff. Right? It is where we get our sustenance. It is where we get our nourishment. It is where we, how we remain healthy in Krishna consciousness. We have to cultivate our chanting. Our chanting has to become a discipline. It has to become a sadhana. Right? So, the goal of the chanting, and Prabhupada is emphasizing that through this section, the goal of the chanting is prema bhakti. That is what we're aiming for. We should always, just like in English, there's one saying, do not start a journey, or it says, do not board a boat or a vessel unless you are sure of the destination or where this is going. You don't get on a boat if you don't know where it's going. Of course you can do that. I mean, that's also enjoyable, but if you want to get somewhere, you have to know where you're going. You don't get on any tram, you get on particular tram, right? So in the same way, if you want to get to Krishna Loka, if you want to get to Goloka Vrindavan, if you want to be with Prabhupada, with your guru, with Krishna, with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu once again, or whichever part of Vaikuntha that you're attracted to, then you must take shelter of the holy name. You must deeply enter into Namashraya. Namashraya means, right, cultivate, taking shelter of the holy name. That is the process. So we should be looking for prema bhakti within our heart. When we're chanting, we should be developing a love for Krishna, chanting from the heart, not mechanically. Prabhupada says, like the child cries for the mother. That should be the chanting. O Krishna, O energy of the Lord, O Lord, O energy of the Lord, please engage me in your service. That is the mood when chanting. Any points?
You know, this point is one thing, but getting to chanting means to chant in the consciousness that you are a servant of the servant of Krishna. So he is automatically very strong that you should chant because it appears before coming to any service, whether it's deity worship or chanting of the Guru. So chanting is in if you just describe the meaning of chanting, the four functions, the other one, to be anything, the very self of Radha and Krishna, then the ego becomes eligible to ask that, when it is situated into the consciousness of the servant of the self. So the Buddha situated there starting with Nam Vito Nacha Malapati, very effective. And if your consciousness is elevated to that stage, at that point of time, you will connect to Krishna. You can do it in seven minutes. Not only merely hearing the sound vibration, but the consciousness in which you hear the sound vibration is so important.
Yeah.
Now we say, not to be not to be not to be
No, no, yeah, yeah, anyone can chant those verses. Lord Chaitanya chant those verses. Anyone can chant.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in fact chanting this prayer before commencing his chanting in front of the Lord Brahma. Mahaprabhu's highest pastime is chanting in front of the God of Jagannath. And before he commences his chanting, he chants this prayer. He says this prayer. It's so important. Hmm.
Yeah, Gopi Bhatu Pada Kamala Yodasa Dasa Anudasa. It's a famous prayer, which is there. You easily get a copy of it. Before I do my japa every day, first I pray to my guru, then I pray to Prabhupada, then I pray to the previous acharya, then I pray to the six Goswami, then I pray to the Panchatattva, then I pray to Krishna and Balaram. Right, and then I pray to different personalities in Vrindavan, Lord Shiva, Gopishwara Mahadev, Brinda Devi, Purnamasi, Giriraj, Jamuna, Ganga, Jagannath, Balaram, Subhaja, Nisringadev, like that. Then to the Ashtasakis, then to Radha and Krishna. Right, and then I go back to Mahaprabhu again, back to Giriraj again, and then I begin my chanting. That's my sadhana, like that. So it means chanting is, it's a deep thing. Just like if I get in the car, and sometimes I have to chant rounds, and my wife is there, then, you know, we're having a talk, and then I say, okay, now I need to chant. You know, I need to chant my japa. So I don't just, you know, figure out, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. No, I have to go into a meditation before I begin chanting. So then I go into some meditation. So I need 2 or 3 minutes of silence, just to meditate, get myself in the right mood, connect myself once again. Then chant the Panchatattva Maha Mantra a number of times, right? Don't just chant it mechanically, but actually meditate Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Gadadha, Sri Vasa. Sometimes I chant it many, many times before I begin. And then begin to chant the holy name of Radha and Krishna. The process is that you have to enter into the mood when chanting. It is not mechanical. I can't just pick up my beads and start chanting. I need to first connect, right? And then I can chant. Otherwise I just, you know, I don't get into the chanting. Otherwise you're not actually conscious of the holy name, you just chant, but you know, sometimes we chant for rounds and rounds and rounds, but we're not even listening to the chanting. So you need to connect before you chant. Okay, go into a meditation and then. Okay. So we have to finish this chapter, we're running a little late. Okay, so we'll have to. Because they are bewildered by the illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Yajnavalkya and Jaimini and other compilers of the religious scriptures cannot know the secret, confidential religious system of the 12 Mahajanas. They cannot understand the transcendental value of performing devotional service or chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Because their minds are attracted to the ritualistic ceremonies mentioned in the Vedas, especially the Yajur Veda, Sama Veda, the Rig Veda, their intelligence has become dull. Thus they are busy collecting the ingredients for ritualistic ceremonies that yield only temporary benefits, such as elevation to Swagaloka for material happiness. They are not attracted to the Sankirtan movement. Instead, they are interested in Dharma, Artha, Karma and Moksha. Considering all these points, therefore, intelligent men decide to solve all problems by adopting the devotional service of chanting the holy name of the Lord, who is situated in everyone's heart and who is a mine of all auspicious qualities. Such persons are not within my jurisdiction for punishment. Generally, they never commit sinful activities, but even if by mistake or because of bewilderment or illusion they sometimes commit sinful activities, they are protected from sinful reactions because they always chant the Hare Krishna mantra. The Prabhupada makes another important point in this section, is that the devotee, even if he commits some sinful activity, it means in an unpremeditated fashion. If you're committing sinful activities on the strength of chanting, that is aparadha. That is the seventh offense against the holy man. And that is sometimes said to be the most serious of all offenses, to commit sinful activities on the strength of the chanting. But if unintentionally the devotee commits some sinful activity, then the holy name and the process of bhakti, it purifies you. So that is the potency of bhakti. That even if there is some defect in the application, nothing is lost. It simply means it is a gradual setback like that. Or it is a temporary setback. Sometimes we have some difficulty, right? Some devotee may break a regulative principle, he may have some difficulty, but then he continues in the path of bhakti, and Krishna purifies that person, and he can continue. That is the potency of the process. That even it is so powerful that even though you may struggle and have some difficulties, it still draws you along. And it still pulls you towards the final destination of Krishna consciousness. Who are committing aparadha?
Yes.
I mean, they'll get some reactions. You'll get heavy reactions. You'll lose your taste for chanting. You know, before you die, then even in this life, if you're committing simple activities in the street of the whole, then it's an aparadha. So you'll lose your taste for chanting. If you lose your taste for chanting, it means you'll begin to perform simple activities continuously. So usually when devotees start doing something like that, then Krishna gives them a very heavy hit. You see sometimes devotees have very heavy things happen to them. That's usually when they begin to deviate a little bit, then Krishna gives a very strong like that. Usually, that's what. Yeah, or it means in the previous Kali Yuga or something else.
In the beginning, the first chapter is written the story from somewhere of the universe.
In the very final verse of this chapter, it says, Shukadeva says, I heard it from a particular sage at a particular time, like that. It appears like it's a Kali Yuga pastime. It appears like it is, but I'm not sure if it is or not. I don't think it specifically says. Okay.
But this principle is applicable for all yogas, right? Whatever Yamaraj is telling the Yamasutras right now, that people who are chanting up here and all that, and going that such people who are silent. That principle is applicable for all yogas, even though the process of cooking.
What do you think?
No, I think because I'm in Kali Yuga right now, we know about the importance of the confusion and the so I know that it's true. But that time the people...
I know what you're asking, I'm saying, what is the answer?
Yes.
Then that's the answer. Okay. Even Gauranga knows this answer. You can ask him. Okay, my dear servants, please do not approach such devotees, for they have fully surrendered to the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are equal to everyone, and their narrations are sung by the demigods and the inhabitants of Siddhaloka. Please do not even go near them. They are always protected by the club of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, And therefore, Lord Brahma and I, and even the time factor, are not competent to chastise them. So, have you heard, there's one famous lecture, and Prabhupada says to the devotee, there is no death. He said, for a devotee, there is no death. Devotees don't die. Other people may die, that's a different thing. Devotees do not die. Okay? Because the devotee is engaged in devotional service, simply he just passes to the next opportunity to render devotional service. For a devotee, there is no death. Even as devotees, we get very scared of death, actually. We're scared to die. And you see, even some devotees, when they're dying, they're very fearful. But actually, there's no fear for a devotee. Because we simply go into another place to do more devotional service. Like that. So nothing can touch a devotee. Yamaduka, time factor, nothing can touch a devotee. We just have to have faith in Krishna. It's like you see, when Sridhar Swami passed away, there was no fear in his consciousness. Paramahamsas are exalted persons who have no taste for material enjoyment and who drink the honey of the Lord's lotus feet. My dear servants, bring to me for punishment only persons who are averse to the taste of that honey, who do not associate with Paramahamsas and who are attached to family life and worldly enjoyment, which form the path to hell. My dear servants, please bring to me only those sinful persons who do not use their tongues to chant the holy name and qualities of Krishna, whose hearts do not remember the lotus feet of Krishna even once, and whose heads do not bow down even once before Lord Krishna. Send me those who do not perform their duties towards Vishnu, which are the only duties in human life. Please bring me all such fools and rascals. Then Yamaraj, considering himself and his servants to be offenders, spoke as follows, begging pardon from the Lord. O my Lord, my servants have surely committed a great offense by arresting a Vaishnava such as Ajahnmeel. O Narayana, O supreme and oldest person, please forgive us. Because of our ignorance, we fail to recognize Ajahnmeel as a servant of your Lordship, and thus we have certainly committed a great offense. Therefore, with folded hands, we beg your pardon. My Lord, since you are supremely merciful and are always full of good qualities, please pardon us. We offer our respectful obeisances unto you. Shukadeva Goswami continued, my dear King, the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is able to uproot even the reactions of the greatest sins. Therefore, the chanting of the Sankirtan movement is the most auspicious activity in the entire universe. Please try to understand this so that others will take it seriously. One who constantly hears and chants the holy name of the Lord and hears and chants about his activities can very easily attain the platform of pure devotional service, which can cleanse the dirt from one's heart. One cannot achieve such purification merely by observing vows and performing Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. Devotees who always lick the honey from the lotus feet of Lord Krishna do not care at all for material activities, which are performed under the three modes of material nature, and which bring only misery. Indeed, devotees never give up the lotus feet of Krishna to return to material activities. Others, however, who are addicted to Vedic rituals because they have neglected the service of the lotus feet of the Lord's lotus feet and are enchanted by lusty desires, sometimes perform acts of atonement. Nevertheless, being incompletely purified, they return to sinful activities again and again. After hearing from the mouth of their master about the extraordinary glories of the Lord and his name, fame and attributes, the Yamadutas were struck with wonder. Since then, as soon as they see a devotee, they fear him and dare not look at him again. When the great sage Agastya, the son of Kumbha, was residing in the Malaya hills and worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I approached him and he explained to me this confidential history. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki.
Yeah.